Hello, everybody. We are gathered here for another session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English, conducted by Nisaran Vanaya. This is the 146th session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English. I would like to welcome Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, as usual, for this session. We'd also like to welcome everyone who's joining via the Zoom session and live Facebook live stream, and anyone who may be listening later. So as usual, our program will commence with the in-session practice of mindfulness, followed by the talk by talk on today's topic by the Venerable. And then we will be presenting our questions to the Venerable, and we will wrap up as usual. And so to begin the session, I will invite Venerable Dhamma Kusala Thero to start the in-session practice of mindfulness.
Thanks, Sonali. Hello, everyone. To start today's session, let's do a sitting practice. For this, you need to adjust your seat. Make sure that you are comfortable and balanced in the sitting posture. Once you are comfortable and balanced in your sitting posture, gently close your eyes and notice the present moment. Notice what you feel in the present moment. You may feel your seated body, maybe the breathing. Simply notice what is prominent in your body. If it is the breathing, you feel the breathing sensations. The breath goes in and it comes out. Again, the breath goes in and it comes out. We try to be mindful of this breathing process. Time to time, surrounding sounds appear. Sometimes you may feel sleepy. Sometimes pain, irritations in your body. Sometimes future planning, various thoughts, memories grab your attention. But among all these things, we can return our attention back to the breathing. The breath goes in and it comes out. Let's try to continue our mindfulness for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. So let's have a little time to do a mindful sitting today. This is just to give you an idea so you can practice on your own. So Nali, with that, you can take over.
Thank you, Bante. Next on the agenda is the talk based on today's topic, which is happiness. And I will invite Bante again to start the talk on today's topic.
Okay, everyone, today we have a fresh topic. Let's try to take some time and discuss and see how we can relate this topic into our practice, the practice of mindfulness. Usually when we work, when we try to achieve certain things, when we want to achieve our goals, certain luxuries, when we have these things, usually we think that in a future day, in an unknown future day, when I am done with my education, when I am having a good job, when I am having a good family, when I have enough money, when all these things are successful, in a future day, I'll be happy. That's the usual idea we get. Happiness, it is a distant goal. One day we'll reach there and live happily ever after. That's what we think. That's how our usual thinking pattern is, right? With that thinking pattern, what we do is we try to achieve all these goals in our mind. We try to achieve certain financial goals. We try to educate ourselves, we try to find certain professions that will support our goals. So this way, we work. So many hours per day, we try to work and achieve all these things, thinking that in this unknown future day, we'll be happy, trying to get there as soon as possible. Right? So that way, usually we think that is our usual thinking pattern, and we are postponing the happiness. We are postponing the peace for a future day. That's how we usually behave. But imagine, now this seems like a never-ending struggle. We always try to achieve one thing or the another. When you get it, there's a new goal. When you get it, there's a new target. That's how this mind works. Usually, when you achieve something, the mind will be happy for a few moments. Then again, a fresh target, new goal is created. Again, a future destination is shown. Right, so that's the behavior of this mind. That is how it is. So in this process, we are trying to find happiness in a future destination, but it is a never-ending process. Again and again, trying to get there. Again and again, trying to achieve it. But in the process, you are exhausting yourself, stressing yourself, working so many hours trying to get there. That is how usually our minds are, right? So we live in frustration thinking that there'll be a future heaven. In this unknown future day, I'll be happy, I'll be peaceful, right? So that way we try, that way we go there, we try to go there. We always have this future heaven. In this unknown future day, will be happy, right? But postponing happiness to a future day, to an unknown future destination, it's not good. That has happened in the history as well. Even certain movements in the history, they were trying to achieve a heavenly kind of a society in this future day. Whatever the means that you take to get there, it doesn't matter, because we are trying to build this heaven on earth. That was their purpose. So whatever the means, it doesn't matter. Right? When you read about those 20th century incidents, communism, socialism, whatever the movements they had, they were trying to create this perfect future world, this happy future world. And they thought that whatever the means that they take will be justified by the end. The end will justify all the means. Killing humans who go against this, it doesn't matter, because they are trying to achieve this future heaven. They are trying to do good. So the means doesn't matter as long as the end is good. That was their thinking. And in the process, they have killed millions and millions of people. You can read literature on China and certain other movements. And in the process, they have killed so many people of their own race, of their own country, trying to get there. This future heaven, the means, whatever the means they take, will be justified by the future heaven, the end. That was their thinking pattern. But in reality, you realize whatever the means that we take to get there will change the end as well. Right? The means will create the end. Whatever you take, whatever the way you take, whatever the means you take, the end will be created by the means that you take. That means whatever that you do in the present moment, the future destination will be changed by the things that you do in the present. So if you are stressful in the present moment, then there's no guarantee that you'll reach a destination with no stress. If you are frustrated in the present moment, then there's no guarantee that you'll reach a destination in future with no frustration. Whatever the means we take, it'll create the end. Right? So if you think like that, then you better be peaceful in the present. If you are peaceful in the present, then of course the future is guaranteed. If you are happy in the present, then of course the future happiness is guaranteed. It's more like a win-win situation. You find happiness in the present moment, and if this unknown future day, if it comes at all, then you'll be anyway happy there, because you know how to be happy in the present. If you're happy in the present moment, then if this unknown future day, if it doesn't come, it doesn't matter, because anyway you are happy in the present. Because the future is not guaranteed. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Right? So only moment that you have is the present moment. So all your plans might go in vain if this future destination, if this future day, if it doesn't come, then all your plans are in vain. So that's why if you can find happiness in the present moment, then it doesn't matter what is there in the future, because anyway you will be happy there if you can find it in the present. That's why it's a win-win situation. If you find the happiness in the present moment, then anyway you'll be happy in the future. If this unknown future day, if it doesn't come, then that doesn't matter, because you are happy in the present. Right? So that's the very practice. We try to be happy and peaceful in the present moment. We try to find happiness and peace in the present moment. That's what we do. Right? So the practice is finding happiness in the present. That is what we are doing. Usually, when we start our practice as a beginner, naturally our mind is not happy in the present moment. Right? That's the habitual behavior of our mind. It might go crazy in the present moment. You might feel that your mind is all over the place. That is natural because you haven't trained your mind to be happy and peaceful in the present moment, right? So that is why the path or the practice is there. Gradually, you have to train yourself. Every day takes some time, especially during your day-to-day activities. We encourage you to practice this. Every time you start some fresh activity, let's say you are about to eat something, just take a moment to remind yourself that you are about to eat something. Right? You don't have to stop even with your body. You can go on doing it while in the mind for a split second you stop and reflect that you are about to eat something. With that preparation, you go ahead with the task. Let's say after eating, you are getting up from the seat. Just for a split second, stop your mind and remind yourself that you are getting up from the eating. Right? Then you go and wash your plate. Just for a split second, remind that I am about to wash my plate. You go and take a shower. Just for a split second, stop and remind that you are about to take a shower. Right? This way, whatever the activities that we do throughout the day, if you can develop a habit to remind yourself, just for a split second, you stop and remind yourself that I am starting this activity. I am starting having a meal. I am about to take a shower. I'm starting to walk to my work, right? So that way, we stop for a split second, we remind ourselves, and we go ahead with the activity. That way, if you do, it's a good way. It's a good encouragement for you to be mindful during that activity, for you to embrace whatever the thing that you are doing. Right, so this way you have to train yourself. It's not easy. Usually our mind, it is, you know, thinking thoughts. That's the behavior of this mind. While you are brushing your teeth, your mind wanders. While taking a shower, your mind wanders. That is the natural habitual behavior of this mind. That's why some people, they can only sing in the bathroom. Right, when they get there, they are a singer. Right, they are a singer in the bathroom, not outside. That wandering mind, you know, as soon as you get there, your mind starts wandering and it is comfortable singing. All these things happen. Right, so every time, whatever the things we do, usually our mind is singing a song, probably some about somebody, probably about an incident, probably about a family matter. So always singing songs in our mind. That is how the behavior of this mind is. But the practitioner, instead of allowing this habitual behavior to happen, what they do is that they repetitively bring their attention back to the task at hand. When they do it, they can feel certain bodily sensations prominent in that task. You are not always observing breath. That's not the way. Some people, they say, while sweeping, I observed my breath. Right? While doing something else, I observed my breath. That's not how it should be. Instead, whatever the task at hand, it has its own prominent sensations. Let's say brushing your teeth, you have certain prominent sensations there, like the touch of the brush, maybe the sound even, maybe the taste, smell. All these things are in the present moment, in the process that we are doing, in the activity that we are doing. So we bring our attention to those sensations, right? Though they are prominent in this activity. While eating something, you have different sensations. While taking a shower, you have different sensations. So that way we try to bring our attention to the bodily sensations while doing these activities. And let me remind you, when you do your sitting, when you do your walking, you can be with your body a whole lot. The bodily sensations, you can be with them a whole lot. But during the day-to-day activities, it's a different balance. You can't be with your bodily sensations all the time, right? Daily activities, they have a different balance. So you have to find that balance. And when you find it, you can do those activities with a certain level of mindfulness. Time to time, mind wanders. Time to time, it goes on thinking. But again and again, you return to the task at hand. So that way, what we are doing, we are trying to train ourselves. We are training our mind to be happy and peaceful in the present moment with the current activity, right? Can brushing be an activity that you can enjoy? Can having a meal be an activity that you can enjoy? Can taking a shower be an activity that you can enjoy? That is the very experiment that we are doing, right? Usually we are having meals, but we think about some future meal in a restaurant or somewhere. Right? While brushing, we think about the next activity. While taking a shower, we sing about a family problem, right? So that's how our mind is. It is not happy in the present. But with repetitive training, even a menial activity like brushing, everyday activity like brushing, it can be something that is enjoyable. Even having a meal, a homemade meal, but still, it is something that we can enjoy, right? Whatever other activities that you do, they are repetitive menial activities, but still, you can do them with certain level of enjoyment. That's the very idea of this practice. So if you do it, you realize instead of having happiness or being peaceful in a future destination, I am peaceful here and now. I'm brushing my teeth, but still I'm peaceful. I'm having a home-cooked meal, but still I'm peaceful. I'm talking to somebody, but still I'm peaceful here and now. Right? So that's the very training that we are after. I'm not saying it's easy. It takes some time to reach this level. But with repetitive practice, with some effort, you can reach there. Incrementally, your mind will be more and more happy and peaceful in the present moment. That is the target we are trying to achieve. That's the goal we are trying to achieve. Little by little, we do it, right? And when you do it, after a few weeks, few months of training, you realize now my mind is up to a certain level, happy and peaceful in the present moment. And that's a huge impact on your life. Earlier, you were thinking about this future happiness, future day that you're happy, future destination that you're happy. But now, you are happy in the present. You are peaceful in the present. Maybe our earlier generations, they couldn't achieve this. They were working so hard. Your parents, for example, our parents, they were working so hard trying to create a better future for their children. But when you reflect upon those lives, did it work? Was it successful? That's a question. That's a question. Most of them, they sacrificed their entire lives, their present moments for a future heaven, but in the process, they weren't successful. Towards the end of their life, they were frustrated. So much hatred was there. They were blaming others. They were blaming children, saying that they sacrificed their whole life, but still it went in vain. Right? So earlier generations, especially our parents, grandparents, they didn't have this exposure. Right? These things are, we are rediscovering them. They were hidden. These practices, these practice like mindfulness, these meditation practices, they were hidden. We are rediscovering in this new age. For some reason, we got that chance. So our recommendation is not to waste that opportunity. Not to waste that opportunity. Instead, do the practice. Do the practice. Find peace in the present moment. Find certain level of happiness in the present moment. And when you secure that happiness in the present, it will be secured in the future. When you secure that happiness in your mind, whatever you do for your children will be happy and peaceful. Whatever you do for your family, it won't go in vain. That's the very idea. That's the very idea. Otherwise, we think that we are achieving this in the future. We sacrifice our present. We sacrifice our present, but all these efforts, they go in vain. Right? So that's the very idea of this practice. So that's why we say in today's poster or the flyer, the happiness, it's not a luxury. Right? Instead, it is a necessity. It should be found in the present moment. Not in a future kind of a destination, not in a unknown future day. Right? So when you continue with this practice, there are certain phases that you will go through. Right? Usually, we are identified with our thoughts and emotions. That is how we usually are. Right? Our own thoughts, emotions, they feel so personal. And it feels like it's a part of me. We have a certain attachment towards our own thoughts, emotions. We value them so much. I'm not saying only the happy thoughts, only the good thoughts. Even the bad thoughts, even the terrible ones, we assign a certain value to them. Right? These thoughts, they make me. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, this is a certain part of me. That's how we feel. Right? In a way, you have a certain emotional attachment towards your own thoughts and emotions. Right? They represent you. Without them, you feel lacking. Without them, you feel like half a human kind of a thing. Right? So we have these thoughts, emotions, and we are identified with them. We identify ourselves with these thoughts. We identify ourselves with these emotions. That's why some people, they feel terrible in their mind. They feel this, all these negative thoughts, negative emotions. But still, without them, they won't feel whole. They need these thoughts as their identity. They need these emotions as their identity. That's how we are. Right? So that is our behavior. So we identify with our own thoughts and emotions. That is how we are. But in this process of this practice, we say, don't identify with your thoughts and emotions. try to simply be mindful of them. Try to see how they come and go. Try to be mindful in the moment. That's what we say. It is not easy. Even people like, you know, those Western approaches, Western philosophers like René Descartes, he knew that he had some false beliefs, right? He did this very nice experiment, trying to let go of the false beliefs. He gave this analogy of an apple basket. He said that in this basket, there are fresh apples, there are rotten apples. Some things are wrong, some things are false, some things are true. So he was trying to find the true ones and let go of the faulty ones, right? So he let go of the entire basket. He threw that basket onto the floor and tried to, you know, start over, right? After throwing everything, the very first apple he identified as real was, I think, therefore I am. He felt that these thoughts are appearing, these emotions are appearing. With these thoughts only, I feel that I am, right? That I am feeling is coming with these thoughts. I am feeling with this, coming with these emotions. So as the very first good apple, he picked this one. I think, therefore I am. Right? So that's a fatal mistake. That's a fatal mistake, identifying with your own thoughts and emotions. And afterwards, the rest of the apples, they tagged along with the first one. Whatever the remaining apples, they too were true, right? So his experiment was good, but his approach, that his identification was incorrect, and as a result, he couldn't find the real truth. But there was this some other person afterwards in the Western world, and his name was like Stephen Joda or something. He was obsessed with this René Descartes approach, René Descartes, you know, experiment. I think, therefore I am. So this person, he committed his entire life into experimenting with this. He kept observing this I am kind of a feeling, how these thoughts are appearing and, you know, disappearing, how they come and go. And how with those thoughts, this I am feeling is appearing. And when they disappear, how this I am feeling is disappearing. Right? So in a way, he did the experiment. He took this René Descartes experiment and he kept on observing this I am. And in the process, it is said that after many years of observation, he found a certain level of peace within, because he wasn't caught in his own thoughts, emotions. He wasn't identified with his own thoughts, emotions. And as a result, he was able to let go of these thoughts, emotions, and find a certain level of peace within. So that's the very idea of our practice as well. When we are mindful, we say, let the thoughts come and go. But don't identify yourself with those thoughts. That's the very idea. Habitually, our mind goes and identifies with them. This habitual behavior is there. But again and again, you train yourself to be mindful. Again and again, you let go of that identification. Right, so that's the very practice that we are doing. And after certain weeks, certain months of practice, we are able to let go of this identification into a certain degree. We are no longer identified with our thoughts, emotions, maybe not up to a level we used to do, right? And when that change happens, that change, it represents, it's an indication of the level of the happiness that we will feel. Otherwise, everything is temporary. Usually in our practice, we feel this lack of thought moments for a certain period of time, for certain few minutes. We feel no thoughts, and we feel the peace. We feel the peace, but again the thoughts appear, the peace is faded away, right? So that peace is temporary. It's due to lack of objects, lack of thoughts. It comes as a result of the practice, but it is temporary. But when you continue with your practice, when the wisdom grows, you are not identified with your thoughts as you used to be. That identification, it reduces. That happens as a result of wisdom. And when that happens, due to that reduction of identification, you feel a certain level of peace, happiness within. And that is not temporary, that's permanent. That change is permanent. So that change, in order to achieve that, you have to practice for a few months. You have to go get proper advice. And after getting proper advice, you have to continue. And when you continue, you see how the happiness is sustained in this practice. Otherwise, initial phases, they are just temporary, you know, peace due to lack of objects. It's not permanent. But with this wisdom, when it grows, when our identification of our thoughts and emotions reduces, due to that reduction, the happiness arises, the peace arises, and that is permanent. That change is permanent, right? So that's why we encourage you to practice for certain months, few years, and see. In this program, we have continued for like 3 years, I think now. For like 3 years, we have continued it. And some people, they were fresh, they were new to the practice when they joined this program initially, maybe a few years back. But now, when we hear their meditation experiences, when we hear how they have transformed their lives due to the practice, right? Now they are seasoned meditators, and they feel how impactful this practice is. It didn't happen overnight. Instead, many months of effort, many months of persistence it took. But it's an effort that's worth taking. Right? So that's why Buddha says, practice for 7 years. That's the indication he gave, right? Probably because even Buddhahood, it took him 7 years to achieve. Probably due to that reason, he's saying, practice for 7 years. But the funny thing is that after becoming a Buddha, for the remaining 45 years of his life, he kept on practicing. He did the meditation, he did the walking meditation. He did the sitting meditation. Even in those sutra teachings, you can see certain, you know, parts saying that Buddha was walking for so many hours, doing walking meditation in the night. Then he came and sat. Right? So that way, even after achieving Buddhahood, he kept on practicing. And the reason for that, he was explaining, saying that to feel comfortable and peaceful in his own mind, to support that peace, happiness within, he does his practice. As an example for the followers, he does his practice, right? So that way he kept on practicing. But usually we are in a rush. We want to achieve this within 5 days. They come to 5 day retreat saying that I'll become a stream entry after these 5 days. Right? It's good to have such motivations, but in reality, you have to, have certain level of persistence in the practice. It is important. You take your time, continue, and within few months, few years, you can really see the impact of wisdom. Not that temporary peace, but instead the wisdom faculty grows, and as a result, we are less identified with our own thoughts and emotions. Due to that change, a certain level of peace and comfortable nature, peace and happiness arises. And that lasts. It is permanent. Even in your day-to-day lives, you can feel it. Even talking to people, you can feel it. Like even dealing with your family problems, you can feel it. My mind, the behavior of this mind, the way I perceive this world, it has changed. It has evolved. Right? So when you feel that change, you know that practice works. When you feel that change, you see the results of this practice, the proper results. Although it takes time, it's worth doing it. And when you achieve that level of practice, you realize your mind is happy and peaceful in this moment. In this moment. Not in a future destination. Not in a future heaven. Instead, you are happy in the present, here and now, and your future is anyway secured. That doesn't mean that the world disappears. Sometimes certain difficult periods come, right? Sometimes family problems appear. Sometimes certain incidents happen. We can't prevent them. The world will be there. But what you feel, what you perceive is that these family problems, although they are there, although you feel a certain level of resistance, you don't feel earlier levels of resistance. You don't feel earlier levels of depression. You don't feel earlier levels of stress in your mind. That is the change. Still, you feel friction. Still, you feel depression. Still, you feel stress, but it is comparatively lower, right? And when we face these phases, we are not trying to, avoid or suppress them. That's not the way. Instead, you face these difficult periods. You go through them, right? You have the courage, you have the strength in your mind to face them, and somehow you come out the other end much better. Improved in your practice, strengthened in your practice. That is the very idea. They say when you see a ghost, don't immediately run away. Right? Because if you run away, what happened? Right? You are taking the ghost in your mind, and the ghost will be manifested in your mind. Right? Instead, just face the ghost and see what is the message this ghost is giving you. Right? Maybe ask for an identity card, ID card, you can ask and see whether this is a real ghost or not, right? So that type of courage is needed. Usually certain difficult periods come. And that is true to everybody, not just to, lay people, even to the monks, not just to practitioners, even for the other people. It comes. What matters is how we face these difficult periods. Whether we have the courage, whether we have the strength in our minds to face them and somehow improve our practice. Whatever the difficult periods, there are opportunities for you to improve. That is for sure, right? Whatever difficult periods, you have something to learn from it. Although you feel resistance, although you feel friction within, when you go through that difficult period, you are coming out much better, much, much strengthened, right? So that's the very idea. And when you continue like that few years, then you realize now your mind is almost like unshaken and unwaved. Things happen, but they are not influencing the peace or the happiness in your mind. Right? It is unmoved, unwaved. That's the very idea. It is not shaken due to the outside world. The world is there. Don't think that the world will disappear. The world is there. The people are there. Your family members are there. Everything will be there. But your mind is not shaken due to these worldly matters. That's the very change. That's the very idea. So thank you for listening. I hope today's topic was helpful.
Thank you, Bhante. That was a very personally hitting topic today. Thank you so much. I hope, just as I did, many of you took it to heart. And next on the agenda is actually the Q&A. And let me introduce, invite Anupama to do the Q&A, host the Q&A, and present the reports for this week. I will share the screen.
Thank you, Sonali. I hope you can hear me clearly. And avasarai, Bhante. I will start off by recapping on the mindfulness for beginners in English guide. Most of you are already familiar with this, but we will go through it for the benefit of those who would like to know about how to go about practicing mindfulness, writing reports, and then submitting it to us so we can share it here on this forum for everybody's benefit. As you can see, Sonali has kindly shared the screen with the information on the YouTube clips, which will give you information on how to do mindful walking and how to do mindful sitting. And this presents it in a nice stepwise manner. Once you've watched these videos, we recommend that you allocate a small time daily and start practicing mindfulness, ideally walking, and then a little bit of time for sitting. The other thing you can do in addition is mindfulness in everyday life. Yes, if you can practice those three aspects. And then the next step would be to write it down as a reflection report. You could either do this in the format of a question or in statements. So for example, under mindful walking or mindful sitting or everyday mindfulness, you can describe what you felt. So in terms of sensations, in terms of emotions and thoughts that went through your mind, you can, for example, describe prominent sensations while walking, such as the texture of the ground, what pressure points you felt on your soles, how your body weight shifted from one leg to the other. And for example, in sitting, sensations such as pressure points when you're sat down and the sensation of incoming and outgoing breath at nostrils and the movement of your abdomen with breathing. Once you've written your reflection reports down, you can send it to us either via email or via a Google form. The links to both of them are on the screen in front of you, and Sonali will also share it in the chat with you. And if you, yes, if you continue to practice your mindfulness like this and share your reports, we will read it here for Bhante's feedback, which will help the progress for us all. So that is the end of recapping on the Mindful for Beginners in English guide. Today we have one report which I will proceed to read. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion. Attention moved to music coming from next room. Annoyance appeared for a moment. Then the awareness of breathing noted. Music continued and more energy used to observe breath. After a while, there was acceptance of how things were. Some did not know about my sitting practice. nor did I ask volume to turn down. And it was early afternoon, instead of usual practice time of early morning, when the background is quieter. Noted the attention moving between breath and music. Body felt still. Much lower level of annoyance in mind now, when attention shifted from breath to sound. Subtle breath noted. Spaciousness in mind. Prominent breath noted at times. Sat for an hour. Experienced the uncontrollable fact when there is sound contacting a nearby ear base, then the hearing will arise regardless of whom it was expected or not. Mindfulness during the day. A scary event occurred a couple of days ago. This provided an effective way of testing practical application of mindfulness. Two youths chased husband and I while on the daily walk and asked for husband's phone. Few seconds before, husband took a photo of a big van blocking the junction, which was illegally parked on double yellow lines. They were threatening and flailing arms and snatched the phone. Fear arose for a few seconds, which was replaced by the awareness. What is happening, reacting may not help. I calmly asked the two youth to return the phone so we could continue our walk. He threatened to spit at me, but did not. An older gentleman who knew the boys came hurriedly from a nearby house and intervened. Phone was returned and he apologized on behalf of the youth. He said that the older boy had recently returned from hospital and to forgive their behavior. It was their van my husband had photographed and they wanted the picture deleted, hence the altercation. Compassion arose in mind. I said, "Sorry to hear you were in hospital recently. Hope you feel better soon." I meant it. There was compassion in mind. Husband explained to them how difficult it is to turn the car at this junction as the van is blocking the view of oncoming vehicles, hence the danger it poses. Van was moved from original position the following day. Although initially experienced fear due to the unexpected event, realized that the mind had not reacted in an extreme manner, and some semblance of equanimity was present. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you. Theruvan Sarana. End of report.
Okay, thanks for sharing your experiences with the practice. Now, if I focus on the first part, that music, and the annoyance, right? So that's how the mind works. In your report, you mentioned that the contact, with the contact, the hearing will arise, right? But think about the annoyance. That too will arise along with the hearing. So in a way, we are programmed to perceive this way. You have no control over it. Even the annoyance, it appears along with the hearing. In this case, the annoyance, right? Sometimes the opposite, right? So this is how we perceive the world. We think that we are deciding how to perceive, but basically it's the other way around. We have no control over it, right? The annoyance appears along with the hearing, and we perceive this as some irritation, as some annoyance, right? So that's how the mind works. That is the program, right? Sometimes annoyance, sometimes the opposite. This way we keep on perceiving the world. We are programmed to perceive this world like that. That programming It goes, you know, it takes time. It involves your thinking. All the history is there, but the current programming is you hear the sound, you perceive it, and along with the sound, you perceive it with annoyance. That's how the faculties work, right? So what can we do? That's the important question. If this is how we are experiencing the world, if this is how we are perceiving the world, what can we do? What we can do is we can not get caught in the process and, you know, feed the process more and more. That's what we can do, right? So that's why in your observation, you observe the sound, you observe the annoyance, right? There you keep on doing that observation. That is the very idea. That is the very way to decode this programming. It's already there. What we do is we won't feed it no more. We keep on observing, witnessing, right? So that's the very idea of this practice. And when you do it, you can decode this programming. Right, but remember the important fact is that it is already programmed. You hear the sound, alongside with that sound, the annoyance appears. We have no saying in it. Right? That's what happens to the other people as well. And the tragedy is that they don't know it. That's why some people, you know, that's why they come chasing. Trying to demand that you delete that photo, right? They're already caught in that process, right? They don't know this is how the world is. They don't know this is how they perceive the world, right? So everybody, it's like, you know, in a mental hospital, caught in this process, right? What we can do is we can gently develop our awareness, the faculty of awareness, gradually let go of this programming. Right. And when you see it, you realize so many factors are there. Even that very incident, so many factors are there. The van is parked illegally. The owners are hospitalized. All those things come together. Right. When you see the bigger picture. But if you get caught in the process, then you won't see the rest of the picture. That's the thing. Right. Since you took time, since you faced it with patience, then only you see the whole picture. Otherwise, if we get caught, then we can get into a fight. You know, we can go to the police, all these things we can do, right? But we won't see the real picture. We won't see how other person is caught in this, what's their background. Maybe they are suffering with some issue, some illness, some family problems. Right. This is the bigger picture. And when you see the bigger picture, compassion naturally arises. You don't have to force it. You don't have to, you know, try and be compassionate. Instead, the compassion naturally arises. When you see the reality as it is, compassion naturally arises. That is what Buddha's compassion is. He sees the reality. He sees thoughts, emotions. He sees the problems that they are having. He sees their background. And when he sees the whole picture, the only thing remains is compassion. Right? These poor creatures, they are caught in this process. They are caught in their mind. They are caught in all these illnesses. They are caught in the outside world. What can you do? Nobody can help them, right? So that's the idea of this practice. We too are trying to become Buddhas. Gradually, little by little, we are developing our awareness. When you develop that awareness, you start to see a bigger picture. Little by little, we expand our awareness, and the picture we see becomes bigger and bigger, right? So that's the very idea. That's the very idea of the practice. And when you see the big picture, when you achieve a certain level of Buddhahood, you realize that these people, they are just simply caught in the process. They are simply caught in their minds. So only thing remains is compassion towards them. You might not do anything about it, but still you feel compassionate. You feel what a mess they are already in, right? So that's the very idea. Good experience. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bante, for your valuable guidance as always. And thank you for submitting the report and sharing with all of us for all our benefit. Next is actually the Q&A session. If anybody has any questions to ask or any comments to make, please raise your Zoom hand and we will invite you to unmute yourself. Ashini, you've got your Zoom hand raised. If you can unmute yourself, please, and ask your question. Let me see if I can unmute you.
Terasana, I would like to forward a reflection report today. And in India, it goes like this: mindful walking, 45 minutes. Walked up and down several times and stood at the edge. Then did the body scan. After that, walked observing left and right soles of feet. Could feel the warmth, dryness, roughness and hardness of the floor. Some places were wet, damp and cold. Heel of the foot lifted firstly and set on the ground firstly. After continuing to a certain extent, walking became unbalanced. Heard noises, thoughts passed. Mindful sitting 1 hour. Sat and observed the posture as a statue. Rising and falling of belly came conspicuous, but headache was more prominent than that. As I observed the headache, pain in the left side of the head increased. It spread throughout the left side of the head. It was like cutting or digging a hole in the head. Gradually, whole head was hard like a big stone. Pain in the right side of the head ceased. When I continued observing the pain in the left side, gradually became less. In some places, the pain spread like water bubbles. Pain became so less. Later again, it was there. That is all, Swami Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Okay, if we pay attention to the walking part first, now towards the end of your walking, you felt all those sounds are heard. Thoughts come and go, you felt unbalanced in your body, right? So that is achieved probably like, 40 or so minutes of walking. After 40 or so minutes of walking, you feel this experience. You reach this level, right? So this is more like the flow state that we talk about the practice. You have no control over the process, simply everything flows. Even the walking, it happens naturally. That is why you feel this unbalanced kind of a thing. And thoughts, sounds, they flow. Right? So when you reach that level, it's a good idea to continue with it. Maybe you become, you feel natural again. Right? So this flow kind of a state, it won't last for a long time. Maybe 10, 15 minutes, it will last. Then you recover from it, right? So when you reach that level, it's a good idea to continue experiencing that till you recover, till your mind recovers, right? So you don't have to limit your for walking exactly to this time. When you feel these type of experience, it's good to continue with it till your mind recovers. Right, so that's the first part I want to mention regarding the walking. Then the second part, the sitting. So that observation of the pain in your head, that observation, you are always referring to the location of it, left side, right side, this point, that point, right? That way you are referring. But try to let go of the location and simply witness the pain, the sensations, right? Try to let go of the location and simply witness the sensations. The pain is there, but no location. We try to let go of that location kind of a thing. Usually a beginner, they try to pinpoint the location. The pain is in my head, left side, breathing, the left nostril, right? Touching of the feet, heel is touching. So that way they pinpoint the location. But later in the practice we say, no need to do pinpoint the location, simply go with the sensations. That should be enough. So whatever the sensations, pain or the breathing sensations, we simply be with the breathing sensation. Painful sensation, right? So that type of observation is much better than what you had, right? Even in your same report, if you let go of those locations, pinpointing locations, it'll be just a pain. You won't say it's a pain in your head, right? And then certain parts pain-free, certain parts the pain is higher. Sometimes this higher pain is reducing, the lower parts are increasing, right? So that type of observation, even in the same report, try to rewrite it without the locations, right? Without saying it's the head. You feel a pain. It doesn't matter where it is, right? You feel certain parts are at high intensity, certain parts are at low intensity. So that approach is much better. And when you let go of the location, then it's simply another sensation. Pain, right? No disease you can make out of it, you know. If you pinpoint the location, then it's a headache, then you have a disease and a treatment or a doctor, everything comes along, right? But if it is just pain, then you can't do anything about it, right? If it is not your pain, then not even a problem, right? So this is how we are. We try to make it ours. We try to pinpoint the location. And the ego or the self arises, right? But when you let go of the location, it's simply pain. You can't put a name to it. You can't put a disease to it. If you pinpoint the location, if it is in head, headache, if it is in a in the stomach, then stomachache. All these sicknesses, all these doctors, they come, right? But if there is no location, it's simply another sensation. Simply another sensation. That is the nature of this body. As long as you have a body, you feel these things. Right? So that approach is much better when we think about the practice. And you feel certain pains, aches in your body. They are simply coming and going. You don't have to worry over them so much. And gradually you realize this is the body. This is the life that we are living. And those earlier stories, then we hear about those practicing monks and even the laity, they simply observed it for what it is, the body or the pain, right? They weren't crying over it. They weren't trying to solve it. Instead, simply they accepted problem as a problem or the observation as an observation. That's all they did. Suffering utterly, so much pain, difficulty in the body, but still they kept on observing. Right? That is the reality of this life. No matter what you do, you have to go through these experiences. No matter how advanced the technology, the medicine is, still you have to go through these experiences, right? Some people, some illnesses, you can't give painkillers. Even in this new age, you can't give, right? So you go through that suffering. One way or other, you have to survive, right? So that approach, if you have trained yourself, with little, little difficulties, with little, little irritations, then with time, you realize these things simply, this is the nature of the body. Pain, various sensations, they come and go. I simply witness it. That witnessing is what we try to do. Good luck and try to continue.
Thank you, Bante, for that guidance. Ashmi, I hope you found that useful. It was certainly useful for us as well to listen to Bante on the tips that he gave. We do have another hand up, and this time it's Panchani. If you want to unmute yourself and ask your question, please. Panchani, if you can kindly unmute yourself and ask the question. I'm not sure whether you're having technical difficulties. The other option is you could maybe type your question in the chat if you'd like to. Anybody else while we are waiting for Panchani? Anybody else with any questions or comments? Yeah, I can see that Panchani briefly unmutes herself, but then it goes back to mute, so I'm not entirely sure what's happening with the technical side of things. Sonali, are you any good at technology?
It does look like there's a technical issue. I have requested
issue,
to
isn't it?
Unmute, but yeah.
Oh, yes.
She's having trouble unmuting. Unmuting herself. Maybe we can ask her to leave us a question or a comment for next week.
Perhaps, yes, yes. That is possible. And I think that's it. I can't see any other hands up at the minute. So we could possibly conclude the session. Panchani, I hope you're okay to submit your question for next week. You can type a little message in the chat box if you want to. Okay, right. So Panchani says, I'll write a reflection report next week. Thank you. Fabulous. Yes. So I think that seems to be the last comment for today. So I'll hand over to you, Sonali, perhaps, to conclude the session.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you, Anupama. Thank you to everyone who had sent us reflection reports. And we're sorry that we had trouble hearing your question. Hope you can write it to us next week. So it's time to end the session today. And on behalf of all the organizers, I'd like to thank Venerable Homagamadhamma Kosala Thero, as usual, for all his continued guidance. And also the Chief Abbot of Nisaranawane, who initiated this program, Venerable Udayiragamadhamma Jiva Mahathero. May this merit help them to improve their own practice. And thank you to all the organizers who are maintaining and managing this program as well. And a next thank to everyone who participated today via Facebook or Zoom or who may be listening later on. And who will be downloading later on as well. As usual, we meet next week at the same time, which is 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time. And we wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead. I will end the session now.